if we want to overcome the darkness in our lives, the darkness that creeps in, the things that we struggle with, the things that are hard for us, we have to be willing to do something, to change something, to try something different.
And I'm convinced that the human spirit was not designed to simply maintain normal. Somewhere along the line, we forget that our job wasn't to maintain normal. Our job was to step into an unprecedented future where God continually presses us into what's next.
God will never ask you to respond to a call that doesn't already speak to the best part of you, the part of you that was designed for greatness, that deep down knows that there is something more.
Hey, and welcome to the Humanity Church Podcast. I hope that you enjoy this week's talk and want to invite you to join us live at 10 a.m. at the Glasshouse Concert Hall in beautiful downtown Pomona. Or you can join the conversation at www.humanitychurch.com. You can also download the Humanity Church app on iTunes or Android and keep up with the conversation and community there. If you would like to financially support this podcast and the ongoing work at Humanity, you can text the one word Humanity Church to 77977 or check out the giving option on the app. Enjoy this week's talk.
I'm Marla Neighbor. I'm our Connections pastor here at Humanity, and we are doing a new summer series. This is super fun. We're in the book of Psalms, so Psalm Summer Series. I tried to say that five times really fast earlier. It didn't work. But we're going to be doing this together for the next few weeks, and it's just a really beautiful book to dive into because there's so much content, so much material, so much dynamic emotions and just real life happening stuff that we're going to have different communicators over the next few weeks who we trade off over time and pick and choose the things that stand out and that we think are really vital to what our community is needing, wanting, experiencing right now. And it's going to be a very fun time together. So let me pray and we'll just jump right into that. God, I ask that this morning your voice would cut through every distraction, every bit of apathy, everything in and of ourselves or on the outside, God, that is getting in the way, and that you would remove every possible thing that could come between us and your voice, and that we would have the willingness, the openness, and the desperation to hear you, to see you, to know that you are for us, and that you would transform us in this time. In Jesus' name. You know, the book of Psalms, it's this collection of songs, of poems, of different prayers, and essentially it's a bunch of music. And music is powerful, as we just experienced the last bit of time, that it cuts through to the soul in a way that few other things can. There's things that music can do that it transports you, right? It's like you hear a song and instantly you're transported back to that moment, that time, that experience when that song first took hold of your heart. And music defines generations. It defines eras. I mean, Elvis, still has ripple effects to this day. He defined that generation, right? And then the effects continued on from there. And then came in the Rolling Stones, and then you had, this wave of grunge and hip-hop and Nirvana, and then now we've kind of moved on into, the pop, rap, Kanye, the whole Taylor Swift era is where we are currently. Whoa. That's crazy. but when you hear that music, it takes you back. And I don't know, as much new music as I learn, which is not a lot. My husband's that part of the relationship that keeps up with modern day era. But I am stuck in the 90s. I can't get myself out of the 90s. Every time I try to think of a new song to sing to my boys or just, while I'm humming along in the car or something, there's always a song from the 90s that seems to come out of the recesses of my brain from high school and college years. And I don't know how long it's possible for Bryan Adams. Everything I do it for you. I picture myself in my 90s still humming along to Bryan Adams when I'm trying to think of a song to inspire me for the next day. But David in these psalmists, David specifically was the guy who you may have heard of, that David and Goliath David, David who was a shepherd become king David, David who God said, you're a man after my own heart, that David. He wrote almost half of the Psalms, half of those collections, and there's 150 total, so he wrote a lot. He was a pretty dynamic guy. And the Psalms overall, if they were to define an era, if they were to like give us a message, a takeaway, the whole purpose of the Psalms was that they would be a collection of material, of prayers, of songs that would actually draw us towards God, to help us know his heart, to follow his heart, and to announce the coming Messiah, which we now, as we read through those, we know to be Jesus. And music and poetry have a way of speaking through a spiritual realm, because my voice right now, I mean, it's audible. There's something physical about it in sound waves, but there is actually something quite spiritual that takes place with music that speaks to a part of our soul that otherwise just can't break through in. And today, the psalm that we're going to look at is about voice, about the influence of voice. There was a study several years back, it was one that Harvard did and caught hold and just kind of took off from there, that said that you are the average of the five people that you spend the most time with. Is that horrifying or exciting? I don't know. Depending on who you hang out with. I hang out with toddlers who throw tantrums all the time, so that voice is constantly speaking into my life. But whoever the five people are that you spend the most time with, it was decided that because of the influence of people's voices into you and over you, that eventually, over time, you would become the average of those five voices that were speaking into you. I mean, voices, whether external, like me speaking out loud right now, or internal, which is the primary driver, like the, you know, the little voice in your head. The little voice in your head that said, what little voice in my head? That little voice in your head, that internal voice, has a lot of power to also define a generation. I mean, if you can imagine just the little comfort things that we say to ourselves. I say comfort because they become familiar, that they become dulled, like, oh, I'll never amount to anything, or I'm never good enough, or what's the point, or, you know, who am I, or what's wrong with me? That's a favorite of mine. What is wrong with me? I used to have a saying with a friend, what's wrong with me? She'd finish the phrase, is no small thing. I mean, just like, you know, just a normal everyday thing that you pick up, you say to yourself all the time, you just don't speak it out loud, and becomes like your little negative blankie that you hang on to because it's your friend and because you're familiar with it. But then on the flip side, a single solitary word, a voice, can transform everything, right? I mean, I've known teachers, adults, friends who have spoken in to the lives of children who didn't otherwise have a voice of life speaking into them, say, you matter, you're loved, it doesn't matter what you do, I am always here for you, you have a hope, you have a future. And that single-handedly would change the trajectory of that child's life from then on out because of that one solitary voice. I've seen couples who, specifically one that I have in my mind that was essentially, their marriage was done. I mean, everything but paper, everything but signing on the dotted line, who made a very intentional decision to stop listening to the voices that were encouraging their division and started surrounding themselves with the voices that were saying, God will meet you in this. Let me walk through this with you on the hard, costly road of choosing love, who are now coaching other people through that same thing with that voice of hope. And David seems to have written this particular psalm that we're going to look at today during what we think was a time of coming out of a 3-year famine. So it was a desperate time. And we're going to look at Psalm 29. So if you have your Bibles, your scriptures, your apps open, you can open them up to Psalm 29. Psalms is right in smack in the middle of the book. If you ever do one of those roulette spiritual, God speak to me, it'll probably fall into Psalms because that's in the middle spine. So Psalm 29, if you don't have a copy of the scriptures, raise your hand high. We have some folks in the back who will just run over and bring you a book or Bible. You're welcome to take it home. We'd love for you to have that. Psalm 29, the whole shebang. We're going to read it. Ascribe to the Lord. Ascribe means give credit to, give praise. Ascribe to the Lord, you heavenly beings. Ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord glory due to his name. Worship the Lord in the splendor of his holiness. The voice of the Lord is over the waters. The God of glory thunders. The Lord thunders over the mighty waters. The voice of the Lord is powerful and majestic. The voice of the Lord breaks the cedars. The Lord breaks in pieces the cedars of Lebanon. He makes Lebanon leap like a calf. Syrian, it's a mountain range like a young wild ox. The voice of the Lord strikes with flashes of lightning. The voice of the Lord shakes the desert. The Lord shakes the desert of Kadesh. The voice of the Lord twists the oaks and strips the forest bare. And in his temple, all cry glory. The Lord sits enthroned over the flood. The Lord is enthroned as king forever. The Lord gives strength to his people. The Lord blesses his people with peace. Now, this voice of God is not the still small voice that you hear about in other parts of scripture that said, Elijah was there waiting for God's voice, and they said, it's not in the wind, it's not in the fire, it's not in the earthquake, it was in this still small voice. This is a very different representation of God ripping apart creation with his voice. He was showing up powerful as a force. And if anything that could tell you, it could say that we do not follow a wimpy God. That even when he whispers, though, even when he whispers the very thing that you know that he knows that you need to hear most, his whisper could shred every threat of darkness and could pierce through your soul, speaking such unconditional love that it would bring you to your knees. That is the power of God's voice. And so when you're feeling out, as I am at times, like what it means, what it looks like, what it sounds like, what the experience of hearing God's voice is, it's obviously, it's not a volume thing. It's about spiritual intensity. It's about cutting to your heart. It's about the power and personal clarity that God speaks with that could obliterate every other truth outside of the one that he wants you to know in that moment. Because God, when he spoke, he created the universe. He created the earth. He created all of creation. When he spoke, he formed you, his most precious and valuable and beautiful artwork. You personally, and by using that same voice that can shake the earth and rip the tallest and strongest trees to shreds, he can whisper into your soul as you were formed that you matter, that you're loved, and that you have a destiny in such a way that would penetrate and seep through every pore of your spirit, that you and I to this day cannot shake the need to be assured of those things because he has made it so clear through his voice into you. That is how fierce and how powerful God's voice is in the way that David describes it here. And it's God's desire that you would be formed and informed by the voice of the one who created you and who is with you and who is your personal champion. The question that we would most benefit to start with asking is, what thoughts or voices are in the driver's seat of my life right now? Because what's at stake is verse 11. He speaks into you divine strength and peace. It says the Lord gives strength to his people. The Lord blesses his people with peace. It is his desire to give strength and peace to you. Depending on the voice that you are listening to, that could get in the way. So wouldn't it be good to know what voices are getting in the way of that voice that wants to speak life? You know, think about that for a moment. Like the voices that don't sound like God's voice, if you don't know what God's voice sounds like, you can think about what are the voices on repeat that you listen to that don't bring peace, that don't bring strength, that don't bring life. Things like, there's never enough. There's never, that's my personal flavor. There's never enough time. There's never enough money. There's never enough hope. There's never enough possibility or resources. Or what will people think if I fill in the blank? Or what would happen if someone knew, if anyone knew that this about me? Or what is wrong with me? Or what is wrong with them? Maybe that's your mantra. Or I'm the outcast, or nobody cares. Those are the kind of voices that stand between us and the clarity of God's strength and peace. And you can think about it like this, because if you're not aware of what those voices are, think about it like a really tragic Uber ride gone wrong. It's like you tell the driver, I want this specific destination. This is where I want to go. This is where you think your life is headed. You're going to this specific place. You get in the car. You just do your thing. You're in the back seat, probably on your phone for half an hour. You finally decide to look up, and you've been hijacked. Like, you've been kidnapped. You are somewhere totally different, because that is what happens when we are not in tune with our little blanky friends of negativity. We just become so familiar with them. We don't look up. We don't notice. We don't become aware. And the next thing you know, your life has been hijacked, and you're asking, how did I get here? So here's something that we're going to do today. It's a little different. For those who've been around for a while, you know our summer series are a little more interactive and fun. So for those, I used to say it's going to be fun, actually. I'll just say meaningful, because introverts really do not like when I say we're going to do something fun. So we're gonna actually put a question up on the screen here in a second. And this is what we're going to do throughout our summer series. It'll give you a chance to know yourself, to be known, and to share your little insight with someone else around you. So we're going to put a question up. You're going to have a couple brief minutes, and then you're going to switch so that you can hear from your partner. And so you can, in a moment, look around you, find the nearest person, three at the most, and we're going to ask ourselves first this question. What are one or two voices I notice that I tend to listen to at times that don't bring me life? What are one or two of those voices, like I mentioned, whatever your flavor is of human default, what are one or two of those voices that I notice I listen to at times that doesn't bring me life? If you need to shift your chairs for a moment, you can do that. We'll come back in just a couple minutes. Go ahead and share with the person next to you or behind you. Anyone share out loud that your internal voice was, I hate doing these kind of things? Anyone share that out loud? Just be honest, yeah. Because that's a part of it. That's not God, right? Just kidding. You know, there was a study. I'm a fan of studies. And Dove, it was actually done by Dove, the company that does soap and all kinds of other things. But they did this human behavior study that turned commercial. And they had these women who came to their office. They did these interviews. They asked them a bunch of questions, including what are those that you can refer to, some people call it negative self-talk. Like, what are the negative things that you just kind of have on repeat that you tell yourself on a regular everyday basis? And so these women all came in. There was like 10 of them. They gave them this long list of things and shared it. That was it. They invited them to this next meeting at a coffee shop. And it was a separate occasion. They were sitting there at their coffee table, and unbeknownst to them, they have these two women actors who are sitting next at the within earshot at the table next to them. And these women, one of them to the other, began speaking the things to her and over her that other woman had already put into writing and verbalized that she lived with on a daily basis. And all 10 of the women intervened. All of them had the gumption to stand up and say, you need to stop speaking that way to her. That is not okay. And those were the very words that they spoke over themselves on a daily basis. And how often do we buy into, become familiar with, and become so close friends with these voices that do not align with the heartbeat of God? You know, noticing is vital, okay? Noticing is very important. So even you just verbalizing something that you already maybe had an inkling towards, knowing those voices is powerful, because I'm telling you that in terms of voices impacting generations, you may not speak those things out loud, but I guarantee you that there are passengers in your vehicle who are along for the ride with you in life that are impacted by every single thing that you tell yourself that you buy into. It's good to notice those things, and they're not, unfortunately, going away. Jesus isn't like a silver bullet answer to never thinking a bad thought again in your life. There is a working out process, but I tell you that there are ways to where you can notice those voices, and all of a sudden, rather than it being this image of an elephant barreling through your living room, it's just a little mouse that goes running across that you notice from time to time, and you're like, yeah, that's still there. Okay, what other options do I have? There are ways to engage God's voice that renews your mind, as Juan talked about not too long ago. When you look into this particular psalm, in Psalm 29, God is a God who doesn't mess around. He's not hiding. He's not keeping his voice silent from us, because great that I've noticed. Great. Now what? Now what? How do I align my life, my thoughts, my direction that I'm headed in this vehicle? How do I arrive at the destination I want by aligning with God's voice for the long haul? Because I don't know about you guys, but sometimes I am going 100 miles an hour in the right direction. I am really loving life, and I am hearing from God. I am clear about who I am and who I am to be for others. And then I take a freaking hard left turn, and I end up upside down in the ditch with my wheels spinning. So how do we maintain this connection to God's voice? I don't know if you've ever had a powerful person that's had your back. And maybe they were just a little more powerful than you were, but somebody who could represent your voice. I used to work in a child abuse prevention agency, and there was this woman we called Miss Jane. And I will never forget Miss Jane, because she was overseeing multiple families. She specifically was overseeing the welfare emotionally, physically, in all ways with these kids that were in these families that she was assigned to. And if you got in the way between Miss Jane and the future and the hope and the love of that child, then Lord Jesus help you, because she was a force. She was a force to be reckoned with. And it came in every form, because I remember her ripping apart judges with her words. I remember her letting lawyers have it with like everything she had inside of her. I remember her hauling kids out of homes that were an immediate threat. I remember even down to the power of her voice speaking to an administrator at a school who wouldn't let, who a kid kept her phone number in his back pocket, went to the office and called her for help because he had messed up his pants because he was so nervous all the time and needed a new pair and they wouldn't give him one. And she was there in a heartbeat. The moment that he cried out to her, she was out the driveway and in that school making her voice known. And that is the image that God has given us here. He doesn't mess around as a father. He has a fierce voice that is for you, not against you. The voice that formed you, that knows you, that loves you, is the one that's assuring you of that strength and peace that he is just ready to hand over in droves if you will just tune in to him. When you're in the presence of this voice, because let's face it, the voice that usually gets most in the way is our very own, right? So when you're in the face of this voice, our human pretensions of power and control and ability get totally wiped away. The voice that shakes the desert is the voice that shakes away any of your certainties, your own human assumptions, your own plans, and standing before this revelation of even a tiny fracture of the fullness of God's reality, we are undone in that moment. We are left standing with no human defense of our own personal, I know better attitude. We are only left with one other possibility, and that is to say glory. There is nothing left, no fact left standing in that moment. In verse 9, it says, in the temple, all cry glory. I mean, glory, it means so much in one word. It's weighty. It has extreme gravitas. It's heavy honor and respect and awe. There is nothing left to be spoken in that moment when you are in the presence of him. I mean, have you ever just been utterly undone? I mean, where there is just like nothing left. There's just nothing left. You have come to the end of yourself. I can think of so many examples in my life, so many where I was undone, where I had nothing left to give. I can think of all the way back to some of you know my story, like when I was just undone with conviction and repentance, when I confessed 6 years of hidden lies and sin and everyone that I knew was impacted, I was undone by this sweet sorrow that just, I had nothing left of me. I remember getting knee deep into the foster care system, and we had this one particular kid that we just couldn't reach. We just couldn't, no matter what we did, no matter what we said, no matter how much we made him a priority, no matter how much we loved him, it was like there was nothing we could do to physically see him take a different direction than the one he was headed down, and I was undone in that process. I remember being awake at night, 3, 4 in the morning, getting maybe 1 or 2 hours of sleep out of sheer terror because I had helped a friend and partnered with him in opening up a business that we knew nothing about. I was up studying tax laws thinking, what am I doing? Like, people have given us money and they have expectations. I was totally at the end of myself in that season. I remember being just undone in an instant when I got the news that my friend and my good, my roommate, Cheryl, was killed. I just remember, like, I just didn't even know how to take the next breath. I also remember being undone when Nathan and I had this dream of getting a house. We met with a financial advisor who assured us that that would never happen. And all of a sudden realizing how much I truly wanted it, and then having a chunk of money just come to us from 5 different unsolicited sources that paved the way in a short time to have our home that we have now. I remember being undone by the gratitude of that. I was undone praying to God a few short months ago that my cousin who has leukemia would survive. And most recently, I have been just utterly undone with the grace and overwhelming love and provision of God in this new location that he just has fast-tracked our community for and prepared us for, that we're moving to in a few short weeks that we shouldn't have. I mean, you know, that logically, it's like, God, forgive me. I don't deserve this. Like, thank you. You know, I mean, just this overwhelming feeling of being undone. And so you can be undone in a lot of ways. You can be undone out of conviction, out of repentance, out of pain, out of suffering, out of the realization that you have nothing left. You can be undone by the sheer recognition of God's overwhelming love and grace. And Cheryl, the girl that I mentioned who has killed my friend, she would be mortified that we had read her journal, mortified. But one of her last entries said, he brought me to the end of myself so that I could go deeper with him. And some of these moments in my life that I just listed off are incredible. And some of them were so difficult, so painful, so unbearable that I didn't even know what life would look like on the other side of them. But my acute awareness of God's voice, of his strength, of his peace, came in those desperate times when his voice was so incredibly penetrating and unmistakable. And God didn't just show up all of a sudden in those desperate times, which he does. But he didn't just actually all of a sudden show up. It was that I was just all of a sudden aware of my total need and dependence on him. And I had finally come to the end of myself in each of those moments. Those desperate moments, I know, so many of you know, that those desperate moments make life real. Yeah. I mean, those are the moments that wake you up to the urgency of life, the moments where you value relationships, where you want to live each day with purpose, because desperation leads to an awareness that you can't go at it alone and that you don't have what it takes to do this by yourself, because you need a Savior who doesn't just save you once, and he saves you every day, every hour, every minute. We need him, because there's not a minute that goes by that we actually don't need him. Whether you're aware of it or not, we are completely and utterly dependent on him for every single breath. And the one who spoke the universe into existence is the very one who chooses to hold it together with gravity and with forces of nature that we still have yet to even fully comprehend. And when we are face to face with this God, with this voice that is powerful and awesome, the only response that remains, like in verse 9, all cry glory. Everyone say glory.
Glory.
Glory. Weighty honor, respect, and awe. There's nothing else left standing. So how desperate are you? How desperate are you? How often are you aware of your total and utter dependence on him? How often are you charging ahead solo, like trying to make everything happen, trying to control everything and everyone, all in your own strength, exhausted and lonely? Desperation could be the very gift you are most needing to come to the end of yourself and to go much, much deeper into him. So we have one more opportunity to share. You're going to pair up again with the nearby person. One more question, and then we're going to wrap up. What is one area of my life or one relationship where I need God's strength and peace? What is one area of my life or one relationship where I need God's strength and peace? Go ahead and share with the person by you. In that scripture in verse 11, when it says, the Lord gives strength to his people, the Lord blesses his people with peace, that assurance is not made to people who are strong. That assurance is not made to people who are self-confident, like self-assured, the people who are checking off religious boxes of doing good things or being good people or even being a good Christian. Yeah. That assurance is not made to that person. That assurance is made to people who are weak, people who are helpless and who are hopeless and who are desperate and longing and searching. Because those are the people that hear God's voice, because they are acutely aware of their utter dependence on the one who speaks life. Outside of that assurance, there is no room for God's voice. There is no room outside of our own pretensions, our own ideas, our own good thoughts as to how to do life, our own wisdom, our own strength. There's not room to speak. And as powerful as God is, his love is the most identifying characteristic of him, and so he will always allow you to choose what voice you tune into. Yeah. There is a deep-seated need in us to know that we matter, to know that we have a purpose, that we have meaning, that we have a destiny, and that is not an accident. Because whatever you might tell yourself, whatever voices or labels you have picked up along the way, that is the most true, because that hasn't gone away. That's been true from the moment you were a thought in God's mind. And that is why you continue to long for intimacy. That is why you continue to long for purpose, because his voice spoke that into the depths of your soul before you were even in your mother's womb. And for that reason, he continues to speak to you today, because he's longing to draw you back to that knowledge, that power, that intensity, that voice that will rip apart creation for your sake. He is longing for you to know him as that mighty God. Let's close our eyes for a moment and just give room for God to speak. How many of you, by a just bold show of hands, how many of you are desperate right now? There's a relationship, there's a circumstance, there's something in your life where you need God to be a clear voice to you in this time, all over the room. How many of you are desperate to even be desperate? You've been going at it yourself for so long. You are desperate to just be desperate so you can be in that place where you hear him fully and clearly. Awesome. Everywhere. You know, Jesus came so that we could actually have a savior. We forget that for those of us who have come to a knowledge and an understanding of Jesus' death and resurrection on the cross, and we've continued to do life on from there, we forget that we still need him continually saving us every day, every hour, every minute. And if you have come to that knowledge and you have forgotten your desperation, or you have been longing for him to meet you in the circumstance you're in, he is speaking. And the words that he is speaking are strength. They bring strength and they bring peace. Any other voice outside of those things is not from him. He is a voice of life and love. And for those of us who have not yet connected with that voice, that is a voice that transforms, and it comes through Jesus. He is the source of being connected for that long-term road trip to get to the destination that will bring you life. And so I'm going to say a prayer, and you can pray it to yourself silently. Jesus, we ask that you would cut through the noise and that you would make us desperate. We are so unaware at times of the vast, powerful force that you are, and that in your presence, we are undone, God. And so I ask that you would bring us to a place of desperation that wouldn't require drastic circumstances, but would be an intentional longing of the heart that we buy into each and every day as we utter, we need you, we need you, we need you. And that we would invite your voice in, and that you would speak in a way, whether loud or soft, that would speak to our soul, that we would know that we have the God of creation on our side. I pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks for listening to this week's talk. Join us next week for a new conversation, or download the Humanity Church app to continue interacting with the community at Humanity. Thanks, and have a great week.